Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to examine what John taught about testing the spirits. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 again together. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, on the last broadcast, we were looking at verse 5, and I want to read that verse again together. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over the danger of worldliness, and we saw how that the Antichrists teach and preach about things that are from the world. But then John draws a distinction between what the Antichrist teach and what the true men of God teach. And so I want to look at verses 5 and 6 together. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here John says that the way that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is based upon what is taught and who listens. If you are from the world, then you hear what the Antichrist teach, because John says that these heretics speak from the world. But if you are from God, then you will hear what the apostles, John, Peter, Paul, James, and David, and Moses, and Jesus taught. This is the great divide. This is the great distinction. Who you listen to, what you hear, is the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil, between the fish on the right side and those on the left, between the children of light and the children of darkness, between those who are of this world and those who have been born from above. So I need to ask a question right now. Who do you listen to? Who feeds your soul? Who instructs your life? Young ladies, do you seek wisdom and guidance from older godly ladies in the church who teach you to love your husbands and love your children, to keep your homes, to obey your husbands? Or do you feed on information that teaches you something else from people who do not believe God and who do not serve him? Young men, do you listen to older godly men who will teach you to be sober-minded and to develop a pattern of good works and to live a life of gravity and sincerity? Or are you being taught the ways of the world by people who do not love or serve Jesus? These are important questions that we all need to look very closely at to be sure that we are not following the teachings of the Antichrists, but that we are earnestly contending for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, over the last 100 years or so, we have had a massive shift in the church as it pertains to evangelism. Leader after leader has taught us that in order to win the lost, we have to develop what they call some commonality with the lost, and that developing our commonality is the biggest and most important factor in the saving of souls. And I'm all in favor of winning souls to Jesus, and we must be able to be understood by those we are speaking to so that they will hear and see what we have to say. But where I differ with many of the modern techniques of soul winning is that all too often we are willing to cast aside or modify the gospel in order to develop that commonality. And that's where we're going wrong. If by developing commonality you mean that you go and have lunch with a lost sinner, then I'm all for that. If by developing a common interest you mean that you spend time with that lost soul or help him in some way or perform acts of mercy for him, then I'm all for that. That is what is clearly taught in Scripture, and you're doing the Lord's work. But as you're eating with that lost soul, as you're spending time with him and helping him, he should see that there is a world of difference between how you live and what you do and how you view things than the way he does. In your time with him, it shouldn't be long before he should clearly see that you're not like him at all. You're not better than he is. I'm not saying that. But you have been born again. You don't do what he does. You don't live the way he lives. You don't believe what he believes. You don't think like he thinks, precisely because Jesus has given you a new heart and a new divine nature, and you are a new creature. For example, we may think that for older and younger men and women to obey what Paul taught in Titus 2 is simply something that we need to do inside the church or at home. But Paul taught that by us living the way that God the Holy Spirit prescribes here in Titus 2, we are actually being an evangelist. Let's see how, by reading Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Now, pay close attention to this, because this is the key to what John was talking about. Do you see at the end of verse 5 why the older women are to teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children and to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home and to be good and obedient to their husbands? This is not a command to keep women subjugated to male chauvinistic power, as the women's liberation crowd has taught. Not at all. Look at the end of verse 5 to find out why Paul taught this, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. When believers live their lives like unbelievers, God's word is dishonored. When the lost person looks at the saved person and sees the very same chaos in their home that is in his home, he laughs at the word of God. He mocks God's word, because if church people don't think enough of God's word to obey it, then why should he? If people who say that they are saved don't think that God's word is important enough to obey it, then God's word must not be very important. You see, dear friends, when we humbly submit ourselves to the authority of God's word as bond slaves of the Lord Christ, we bring honor to God's word. We testify publicly that God's word is what governs us, and that we think so highly of what God has said in Scripture that we are willing to struggle to live under its authority. And conversely, when we live in direct opposition to Scripture, we testify publicly that we really don't think much about what God has said at all. And when the lost sinner sees how we view how important God's word is to us, then he will either highly esteem the word of God or he will blaspheme it. And when we are the cause of this dishonoring, we are doing a great wrong, not only toward God, but also to that person's soul. Listen, if we who are saved don't think enough of Jesus to obey him, why in the world are we telling the lost sinner to obey him? We have gone out of our way over the last 100 years to try to alter the gospel enough to make it look attractive to the lost. But I will say to you that it isn't the straight and narrow path that turns people away from the church. It isn't the thought that they might be persecuted that turns the sinner away. No, no. What turns sinners away from the church more than anything else is people who are in the church who say they are saved and yet who do not obey God. So if we are really serious about winning souls, then we will teach those who are saved to obey the scriptures. Now read Titus 2 verse 8. Sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. The Bible says here that when we live our lives in humble submission to what God the Holy Spirit inspired in Scripture, those who are of the contrary part, those who are the opponents who are lost, will be ashamed. Well, why will they be ashamed? Because as we obey what God has said, the Bible says here that they will have nothing evil to say about us. Now look at Titus 2 verse 10. Not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Now God's word says here that when God's people live in accordance with God's word, that we are able then to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. And that's just a fancy way of saying that talk is cheap. You see, when we as God's people live like the world, we are testifying in no uncertain terms that we really don't believe what we say we believe. When we live in accordance with the ways of unsaved men, we are saying that the doctrine of God as spelled out in Scripture is absolutely worthless to us, and we have to do what everybody else has to do about the issues of life, because we really don't believe that we have a higher law and a better way of following. But when we do submit to the authority of God's word, when we do humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we are testifying that God's way is higher and better and more important than our way, and that it works and that it's right, and that we really do believe it enough to actually obey it. So you see, dear friends, by living in accordance to what God says, we are being effective soul winners. Regardless of what we say, and when we don't live according to God's ways, we are being real bad soul winners, regardless of what we say. Now, how all of this ties in is that the antichrists of John's day were specifically undermining all that the apostles taught, and they were teaching older and younger men and women that they didn't have to submit themselves to the authority of Scripture. The Gnostics hated Scripture and wrote volumes of fictitious books like the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Judas, which completely tears apart holy living and the concept of salvation by grace through faith alone. The Gnostics taught that women's bodies were community property, and that wives not only didn't have to love their husbands, and children did not have to obey their husbands, but the Gnostics actually taught that women were wrong if they did so. Some Gnostic groups even taught that women should run the homes instead of the men, and that free sex between all people was the desired way of God. To the Gnostic antichrists, marriage was bondage, and fidelity was legalism. We need to know that antichrists still teach that today. Some antichrists taught that Jesus was not a real human being, while others taught that he was a good man but was not God. We need to know that the antichrists still teach that today. This is what John meant when he says here that these antichrists are from the world, and they speak up from the world. And this is why he was so faithful to warn us of their evil and to encourage us to obey the word of God. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.